It's the second day of the gold wage negotiations. The first day was an opportunity for the mine workers to state what their demands are. And today, gold miners laid down their offers on the table. They're proposing a three-year deal. For the first year, offers from the four major gold miners, that is AngloGold Ashanti, Harmony, Sibanye-Stillwater and Village Main, they range between 3 and 6.5%. To give us an idea of who's offering what and where the process is so far, I'm joined on the line by Charmaine Russell. She handles public relations for the Minerals Council of South Africa. Thanks very much for joining us, Charmaine. Last week, the unions laid down their demands, some of which saw expectations of wage increases as high as 34%. But the gold companies have come back, laid their wage offers on the table, and they're ranging between 3 and 6.5%. Just take us through these offers and who's offering what.
Yes, thank you. Good evening. As you know, there's three different bargaining units amongst the 80,000 employees who are effectively represented at these wage negotiations. And for the lowest category levels of employees, what we call the category 4 to 8 underground employees, the increase that is proposed by the various companies ranges from 5.5% to 6.5%. And then at the higher level, the miners and artisans and officials, the increase that has been offered by the companies is between 3% and 4.5%. And the reason for the differing offers is because the different companies, AngloGold Ashanti, Harmony, Sibanye-Stillwater and Village, actually find themselves in different circumstances. This is something which has been done in the past as well, and the companies really cut their cloth accordingly. So those are the offers. I think it's a particularly, as you would also well know, is it a particularly difficult time for gold wage negotiations, both from the employees' perspective, but also the employers as well. You would be aware that currently around 75% of gold companies and gold operating units in the country are actually either marginal or not making a profit at all. So very difficult circumstances.
The latest inflation number that's come out shows that average consumer price inflation is around 4.6%. Didn't the miners consider that the mine workers who've been offered between 3 and 4%, that they're highly likely to reject that because from their perspective, it will just be meaning that they're going to be getting less money for their labour? Because obviously, if you're getting lower than inflation, that you're essentially taking a cut.
Absolutely, it was considered, and as I said, that it was still part of the process. But the effort was, as far as possible, to take a look at the increases, injecting the higher increases at the lower levels for the lower level employees. So there was, in a way, a balance to the discussion, and the fundamental thesis behind these wage negotiations was, in fact, to try and find a balance between the employees' expectations, which were clearly high, and at the same time preserving the long-term viability and sustainability of the industry. I mean, even if you take a look over the past 3 years, which is the period of the current agreement, jobs in the sector have decreased substantially. 20,000 employees during that time period have lost their jobs. What we need to take a look at right now is seeing how we can actually sustain these operations for as long as this is possible.
In terms of some of the benefits, what sort of improvements are being offered there?
There was an effort to focus as much as possible on wages. So that is where the largest part of the increment is. But in terms of benefits, you would also be aware that many of the benefits that apply to employees are actually directly linked to wages. So things like medical, provident fund, housing, etc., those are all actually directly linked and would go up in the same proportion. But there are other areas where concessions have also been made, and that extends to the medical contribution made by companies versus that of employees. Things like medical incapacity benefits, that is also an increase has been proposed, as well as looking at various options in terms of Providence funds. That is one of the demands made by one of the unions, and the companies are absolutely open to that.
Charmaine, I don't know if you have this information to hand, but if you could, just remind us of roughly where current break-even levels are for South African gold miners and the kind of average prices that they've been achieving in the recent past.
Well, if we take a look at current gold prices, which are about like 1,230, somewhere around there, we've got an estimate based on figures towards the end of last year, because those are the most recently published numbers, which actually put about 75% to 80% of gold companies either at a marginal level or in the red. So where we are with the current gold price, we've got about 20% of operations that are actually profitable.
So, you know, one of the things that came out, one of the unions, I forget which, they say that it's quite typical that gold miners will come out with these statements and talk their book down about how terribly they're doing around wage negotiations, painting a negative picture of their fortunes. I mean, how do you think the industry would respond to that?
I would say that I think it's part of the rhetoric, but that's part of the process of discussions, that this is not something which is not known. Companies engage with unions on an ongoing basis. It is known on a quarterly basis. Most of these companies would actually do presentations and speak to their unions and employees directly about the fortunes of the company. And many of these companies have been going through what we call Section 189 processes very recently, which are downsizing. As I said, there have been a number of companies that have either closed or been put on care and maintenance, or where downsizing has happened. So this is no surprise. I think that what is perhaps the case is that there's more interest in the fortunes of the mining companies at this time, because actually we're at the brunt of wage negotiations. But these numbers and these discussions, I don't think that this is a massive surprise to anyone.
Okay. It does appear, when you look at, on the one hand, the union's demands and on the other, the gold miners' offers, I mean, they're so far apart. It's as if both parties live in parallel universes.
Perhaps. But again, you know, in the end, the companies and the unions will need to find one another. We've done that every time in wage negotiations over the last 20 to 25 years. So it is a process, and I think that we have probably started off far closer than we ever have before.
And the gold sector is faced with the challenge of ever deeper mining and the struggle to find good quality ore. So when the sector makes an introspection about what the future looks like, and I'm assuming that you have a very close relationship with the miners and have these conversations with them, roughly what are some of the expectations they have about the sector in, say, 5 to 10 years' time?
Well, clearly the South African gold sector is a very mature sector, and as you've rightly said, there are challenges of declining grades, deeper mines, working areas that are further and further away from infrastructure, and then, of course, safety concerns. So all of these issues have contributed to a massive decline in gold production. It is a mature sector. It is likely that as we go forward in the next 10, 20 years, that gold production will continue to decline. And without massive steps in terms of modernization and mechanization of the industry, it is likely that this is a sector that just will continue to decline. Mm. There are two parts to that. The modernization and efforts that are underway at the moment could actually provide access to these deeper reserves, and there's a great deal of emphasis on that. But what is important right now is that these mines need to go through all the exertion. They have lives left in them, you know, 20, 30 years on some of these operations that we're talking about now, some of them even more. What we need to try and do is ensure the sustainability of those operations and not premature closure.
Charmaine, please move around a little bit. I've got a last question for you. You're kind of breaking up a little bit.
All right, sorry.
But now, would it be fair to suggest that if pushed too hard and the gold miners are forced to raise their current positions too far to avoid a possible strike action, because presumably that would be the threat that would come, would job losses be inevitable in the short term?
That's a very difficult thing to comment on. I don't think we're there yet in the discussions, and I don't think that this is a sector that ever goes out and threatens in that way. I think that there's a lot of discussion left before we start talking about that.
All right, Charmaine, I take your point. That was Charmaine Russell. She handles public relations for the Mineral Council of South Africa.